What if everything you have deemed as impossible really was possible? What have you known and believed was possible your whole life? You just didn't know how to actualize it. Come and discover a world of infinite possibilities on Outside the Impossible with Venus Castleberg. On this show, we will share pragmatic tools to create the life and living you truly desire. And now, your host, Venus Castleberg.
Excited because today we're actually talking about what else is possible, and it's perfect for my show, right? Anyway, I'm excited to introduce Dr. Evelyn Zeller. Dr. Evelyn Zeller is a founder and creator of Peace of the Circle, working internationally with justice agencies, government, businesses, nonprofits, schools, and communities. Dr. Evelyn Zeller is sought after facilitator, trainer, and speaker specializing in peacemaking, restorative justice, and conscious governance. She earned her PhD in criminology and over the past 25 years has taught and led projects in diverse contexts, including the Arctic, Australia, Brazil, Caribbean, Iran, Kazakhstan, Mozambique, Nepal, South Africa, UK, and USA, basically everywhere. Dr. Evelyn is presented at many national and international forums, including the United Nations. Since 2010, she has been using the tools of Access Consciousness and is also a certified BARS facilitator when not traveling the world. You can find her at her home in Vancouver, Canada. And truthfully, I met Evelyn a few years back at a facilitator's class, and just her presence and kindness and acknowledgement of people was really just an inspiration to be around. And so I'm so honored to have you here.
Oh, thank you, Venus. What a beautiful, beautiful introduction. Thank you so much. It's truly a pleasure and a privilege to be here with you and all our listeners. Thank you for the invitation.
Absolutely. And if, you know, we did, we named this episode What Else is Possible? And like, we're talking about what else is possible being a tool for creating more in our lives. Could you explain maybe to our listeners a little bit about what that means and how it's used as a tool?
Absolutely. Thank you. I love the title that we came up with, and it is one of my favorite questions. I ask it all the time, pretty much every day, multiple times a day. And what's unique about this is it's certainly a question. Some of us might have heard it. What else is possible? But what's unique about this and the theme of our show today is to ask it as a question, using it as a pragmatic tool. So this comes from Access Consciousness. And as a tool, it's different because it is not about getting an answer. And it's not even about answering it. It's about opening up a space of possibilities, literally, and for us to be that space of possibilities. So now we are able to co-create with ourselves, with our being, and importantly, with all of consciousness and all of the universe. And I know there's various terms we can use. Language can be a little tricky. So however you as a listener connect with that source, creation, creator, some call it God, but we have access to the vastness of the entire universe of consciousness. And when we ask, we then enter into this co-creative partnership to then be in the field of possibilities where literally it's infinite possibilities of what can show up.
Great, and that was beautiful. And so, but just to clarify, so when we ask a question, we're taught usually growing up, whatever, that when we ask a question, we're supposed to have an answer or look for an answer, or find the answer. So why exactly do we not want to find an answer here? Why aren't we looking for an answer? What are we looking for if we're not looking for an answer?
Yeah, thank you. And this is what we're inviting to, a different possibility and a different reality, actually. So in this reality, to be simple, you know, it is about asking and getting the answer. And it's it's also not about getting an answer, it's about getting the right answer. And I don't know about you, but for me, it's been, you know, crazy making of, you know, what is the right answer? I have to get this right. And there's so much pressure on us starting from a very, very young age as young children, and certainly through our school systems. It's all about getting the right answer, and the right answer according to a particular authority, even whether it's the teacher or our parents or government. Or this particular reality's imposition of what is right and what is wrong. And so there's all this pressure, and then what it does is it contracts. So for those of you who are listening, you know, just tap into that energy of looking for the right answer. So you ask a question, and what's the right answer so we get it right? It's very contractive. There's a lot of pressure, and it invites doubt. It invites judgment. Because to get the right answer, we have to judge. Did I get it right? Am I wrong? Is it enough? And these are fairly universal struggles of a lot of people that I work with of, you know, I'm not enough, or I didn't get it right, or I might be wrong. And then we hesitate to actually go to be all of us and to create what we know is possible because we don't want to get it wrong. Mm-hmm. And so with this tool, and there's many tools, this is just one tool, but this is a powerful tool to begin to get us out of that right and wrong universe and getting the perfect answer, the right answer, and going into a space of possibility. And so what we're not even looking for, what we're inviting is a being of space, a being of possibility, a being of creation, which from my perspective, and this is something that Access Consciousness invites and in provides in their tools of creating beyond that right and wrong. And that is our natural state. And so if you tap into the space of possibilities, and for me, the way I word it is I live in the field of possibilities, and I'm continually inviting people to this field of, okay, so now what is possible beyond our judgment, beyond our conclusion, beyond right, beyond wrong, beyond limitation. And then let's play there and see what emerges. And so when we go there from this tool and other tools, we then can really create from an expansiveness and from the creative capacities that we all have individually and certainly collectively. So I do a lot of work with groups, and it's really about together, what can we create? And maybe I'll pause there because I can go on. I love this work.
No, actually, I would love to hear about that. Please say more. Like your what do you do in your groups? That would be awesome.
Yeah, so imagine, so I guess I was thinking, so we use this tool pragmatically individually. So I invite listeners to really connect with who they truly be. And I'm reminded of many teachers and many wonderful people, including Dane here, which is co-creator of Access Consciousness. And he has a book, Being You, Changing the World, and he offers Being You classes. And so however you come across your support and your classes and your ways and your tools, you know, really honoring the diversity, but the invitation here is to be you, literally. And so you can use this tool, ask the question. I invite you to play with it and just ask it, like, what else is possible at any time, whether something as good is happening and you were given an opportunity, or you are offered a job, or you're offered some money, or whatever it is, you're going for a car ride, you're going on a vacation. So even when things are going well, if you ask, wow, what else is possible? Maybe more can show up of that, what we call the goodness and the fun and the joy. And then when things are not going well and you're struggling and, you know, you were taken out of left field on something, or somebody broke up with you, or you lost the money, or you didn't get the job, whatever it is, and you ask the question as well, huh, what else is possible? And again, notice it might open up some space for something else to show up. So it's not about judging either the good or that struggle or the hardship. it's just continually saying, ha, I'm here, let's be real. So it's not this all, everything is all wonderful. It's not about that. It's about getting really real and authentic. This is what's happening right now. And okay, let's be here. We don't need to dismiss it. I'm going to be here. I'm going to be with it, whatever it is for you in the moment. And when you ask this one tool, what else is possible, there's a space that opens up. And so you don't have to stay there, in other words. You can stay there as long as you want. It's all your choice. And then when you want to shift something, pick up a tool such as this one and say, huh, okay, what is it? And now can I change it? How do I change it? What do I do to change it? These are classic questions we can ask in addition to what else is possible. And then we can begin to create something different. So you can use this individually, and you can say it out loud, or you can say it in your head and play with it with yourself. And as, whereas I'm starting to go is you can also do this in groups. I'll pause before I talk more about the groups in case, Venus, you want to add anything about doing this individually before we talk about doing it in groups.
Yeah, thank you. I really just want to piggyback on that. Something that I often just emphasize here is that these questions, you know, what else is possible, even how does it get better than this? These are questions that you guys can use when things are great and when things suck. So, and they always open up more possibilities no matter what's going on in your life. And I'm just always amazed at hearing the stories even of people who've used these tools and these, like, even use this question and been like, okay, so what else is possible here? Asking that question and having things like get better and better and better. And then at some point deciding that that's as good as it can get, and they stop asking the question. So it, you know, always ask the question, keep going. Because it can always get better, and there are infinite possibilities. That's very well said.
And I love that you said that, because I've also noticed that when it's been interesting, when I say, oh my gosh, you know, what else is possible, or how does it get any better than that? Those are two different questions that are both tools. You can use both of them. Again, you can see the similar energy, and we really invite you to play with these. I'm very results oriented. I'm very pragmatic, and see what shows up. And so I've seen it where someone is getting something that they like, or something has shifted in their world, and they go, oh, it can't get better than this. And notice when I say that, oh, it can't get better than this, or oh, this is the best it's going to be, or this is it. You know, right. And notice that energy. Literally, it means it can't. So it also relates to the awareness or the worldview of we do create our reality. And so if we do create our realities, which is I know to be true. So as we create our reality, then our words, our thoughts, we are literally creative beings, and energetically we're creating, verbally we're creating, what we put out in the world creates at every level. So what we say really does make a difference. And of course there's, you know, thousands and thousands of books and all the you know, masters, so to speak, throughout the ages have pointed to this in various ways. And this is yet another reminder of that.
Yeah, you said something to me once that it really stood out, and I think we even put it in your introduction, like, this reality isn't the only option there is. And I know there's got to be somebody out there who's going, what? What does that mean? Like, what do you mean by this reality isn't the only option there is? Could you say more about that?
Oh, yes, I would love to. One of my favorite topics. Yes. And wow, there's so much that could be said about that. To begin, I guess I would say we tend to think that this is it. What you see, feel, touch, you look around, and this is it. This is the reality. And what if that wasn't true? Mm. So I invite our listeners to consider the possibility that this isn't it, that what, as I said, we create our reality. So what reality are we creating? Which means we're creating it every moment, every day, every week, every year. And that means we can create something different. And so I'm very interested and committed, actually, it's not even just an interest, it's my life's work, of creating beyond this reality and creating a different reality, because there's so much about this reality that is incredibly harmful and destructive and violent. And I think that's pretty obvious when you look at the news. And again, it's being aware of that and not dismissing it and being fully present with, yes, that is true. But I'm not interested in staying there. And it is about, again, what else is possible? And sorry, somebody was just calling in. I don't know if that came through the radio station or not.
No,
but okay, good. I was like, and it said unknown caller. And I'm like, oh, who's calling from the universe? We're talking about another reality. This is funny. Oh my God, that was very fun.
Surprise,
so yes, so you know, it is about what else could we create if we chose it, and knowing that we can choose it, we can create it, and it's us collectively as humans, it's also us collectively energetically, it's also the whole of consciousness and the universe, that there's so much else we can create, and now is absolutely the time. We don't have the luxury of not creating it. Of course, most of us hopefully have heard the news, and scientists also are saying, you know, approximately 12 years, you know, we've come so far in the destructiveness of what we've been choosing. For me, enough, okay, enough. And I'm, of course, not the only one. Thankfully, there's thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands, maybe millions of us around the world that are saying, no, enough of this particular reality of the separation, the judgment, the right and wrong, the violence, the prejudice. I mean, again, the list goes on. What I'm interested in is what else literally is possible, and what are we going to choose to create? And collectively, we can create anything. That's what inspires me. And so let's get together. Let's create something different. And it looks like it's a perfect time for a break, and we'll come back to this.
Yes, we will. And if anyone has any questions, please call in at 202-570-7057. We'll hear you on the other side.
The best of the holistic, spiritual, and conscious world. Om Times Radio, IOM FM.
Namaste, friends. This is Deva Pramal and Mitten. And we want to let you know that we will be in America and Canada this May. We'll be coming with our Wings of Mantra World Tour, coming up the West Coast to Boulder, Santa Fe, Sedona, Scottsdale, Santa Barbara, LA, Marin, Santa Cruz, San Jose, Escondido, Edmonds, and up to Canada to Victoria and Vancouver. You can find details on our website, devapramalmiten.com. Hope to see you there. Lots of love. Namaste.
Om Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. Connect at omtimes.com. Om Times, creating a more conscious lifestyle.
What is magnificent about you that you've never acknowledged? Are you ready to let your own light shine? What if you were 1,000 times more potent and powerful than you give yourself credit for? What if there was a monthly call that is designed specifically to empower you to be all you can be? Would that be fun for you? Venus Castleberg is now offering a Magnificence monthly membership for only $50 a month. Mention this ad and receive 50% off. To register or for more information about the membership, events, and services, please go to www.venuscastleberg.com. Is now the time to be different?
This is the story of a very special woman. Just a few knew about her superpowers. In a matter of seconds, she turned herself into a great mathematician. She masqueraded as a regular person at work, but as a superhero at home. Everyone knows her as Gabriella. I still call her Mom.
Your hero needs you now, and AARP is here to help. Find the care guides you need to help, complete with tips and resources, at aarp.org/caregiving. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Welcome back. We are here with Dr. Evelyn Zeller talking about what else is possible. And I love that we just dove right into like creating and generating your own reality. nothing like a small topic here, folks. but I would love, you said something right before the break that just really triggered, because I know a lot of people still believe that we are a victim to our circumstances. We're a victim to what's going on around us. We can't change. Like, there's this kind of underlying belief, like one person can't change the world, and that we can't change what's happening. Like, you know, obviously, yeah. So, but then you said, what are we going to choose collectively? And I just really went to like, how do we change that belief system that we don't have a say in how it's going and how it's going to go? And that, you know, if we hear that 12-year thing, like, how do we not go down that rabbit hole of like, well, there's nothing I can do about that? Because that's where a lot of people go.
Yeah, you've asked a series of really good questions, and I'm just sort of, which one do I pick up? So I think the first thing that I would say is, yeah, we can go down the rabbit hole and say there's nothing we can do and throw up our hands. So again, I just invite the listeners to consider that just for a moment. Like, okay, so does that ring true? Does that feel good? Is that how you want to live your life? Because you certainly have choice. I think we can all agree we have choice. How much choice is sometimes debated. But even if we just start with, okay, so you have a choice, right? You have a choice of what are you going to wear today? You have a choice of what you're going to eat. Are you going to get out of bed? Are you going to go to school, go to work? Are you going to drive? Are you going to take the bus? I mean, there's a million choices in every nanosecond almost. And I think that's one of the places where we aren't have enough awareness about the profoundness of choice. And so if we acknowledge that we do have choice, which I hope everyone will do, then it's a matter of what are we choosing? And then it's a matter of opening up that space further and further of what does the choice create? And so if every choice creates something, then let's become more and more aware of what the choices are and what do they create. And pay attention, like become aware of that. And again, keep playing with that and expanding it, and small choices, big choices. And what if we eliminated the should have to? There's an exercise I'm just thinking of in Marshall Rosenberg's book, Nonviolent Communication. And he said, you know, his definition of violence is quite expansive. And he says every time we should and have to, that's a form of violence against ourselves even. And so he says, what if you wrote down everything you think you have to do and replace I have to or I should, but even just starting with I have to X with I choose to, and notice what that creates in your world. Because what if everything really is a choice? And yes, it will create something. So, and again, but that's again the choice of that playing field. And so that's one thing is that we always have a say. You say, like, what if we don't have a say? Well, we do. We really do. And it's a matter of the extensiveness of that. So yes, what if one person, what can one person do? Well, a hell of a lot. Holy cow. And I think another way to support people in recognizing the power that they have and the potency that they have to change and to create is to consider those that inspire you. So I invite you to think about somebody that inspires you. Maybe you know them, maybe you don't, maybe you've met them, maybe you haven't. And what is it about them that inspires you? I betting it's something to do with how they show up in the world and how they create and how they choose. They're certainly typically not saying, I can't do anything, I can't contribute, I'm just a victim of this reality. That's usually not very inspiring, to be honest with you. And so if you think of those that inspire, we've had also on a global scale some phenomenal people who invite us and show us possibilities, people like Nelson Mandela. So he was called a terrorist. He was imprisoned for, what was that, 27 years, 26, 28 years. And we know the story of coming out to lead. So even in the most dire of circumstances, so he's called a terrorist, he's imprisoned, he may never get out. Even in that, he has choice. So a couple of choices that he made was to learn the language of the guards so he could converse with them. And he ended up building relations. Another choice he made when he was interviewed, he said, I'm not a prisoner. I'm a leader in training. Either I will die in here or I will come out and lead. So no matter where you find yourself, what if you could still bring about change, even if there's limited choices, so to speak, such as being in prison? How are you showing up? What are you saying? What are you doing? And what I remind people is, the good news is you are 100% in totality responsible for your thoughts, your feelings, and your behavior. So what do we do with that? And of course, I can give lots of examples, Martin Luther King, Gandhi, I mean, and what I'm really inspired by is a young person. I'm just trying to remember if it's Greta, from, is it Norway, Sweden, the 16-year-old who's speaking to Parliament and United Nations and governments. She is spearheading, a strike from school because of climate change. She is such a profound speaker. If you maybe we'll find a link, I'm sure you've heard of her. If not, we'll make sure after the next break we give that to you. But she is 16 years old, a young girl in Europe, and she has now inspired millions of people. And she's speaking to the world leaders at United Nations meetings. She's speaking to the British Parliament. How can one person make a change? My question is, how can one person not make a change?
Well, and thank you for sharing. That's a beautiful story. And, you know, just to encourage our listeners, it can start with one person. You change one person's life, you can change the whole world. So you don't have to be somebody who impacts millions. You can impact one person and make all the difference. And because who knows who that one person may be. Yeah, and then cool. So when you talk about like using the tool in your own life, what else is possible? Could you talk a little bit about like how you've seen that tool change things for you, and maybe even the way that you see the world?
Yes, and I'll just sort of mention, I just Googled real quick, Greta Thunberg. 16-year-old, and if you just Google 16-year-old climate activist, you'll get a ton of stories. But her name is Greta. I apologize. I'm not very good with names. So, yes. And so for me, I use it all the time, and I love what you said, Venus. I just want to really echo the power of the small changes bringing big changes, because we are all intimately interconnected and interdependent. And for me, one of the lies of this reality is separation. Mm-hmm. We are not. We are literally all interconnected, and globally, you know, we are one family, like it or not. We may not like all our siblings, but we all only have one home, and that's planet Earth. The whole planet is our home. And so we and quantum physics, you know, again, the science comes in. Some of you may not be thinking, oh, this is kind of this metaphysical woo-woo stuff. And actually, no, it's science. you can explore quantum physics and, you know, lots of the new sciences are proving all of this. There is no objectivity. You know, it is the impact of the observer will change. So there, what we see, we change. So even by showing up and your very presence, even if you don't say anything, has an impact on those around you, and the ripple effects are wide spanning. So, you know, we have that butterfly effect from, you know, Lorenz from MIT, a meteorologist professor, you know, sparked that, and the idea of a butterfly wings flapping thousands of miles away, if not a continent away, can impact the weather. And so think of the delicacy of a butterfly wings making a difference in our ecology. So you matter, my friends, and you are a gift to the world. And by you acknowledging you, the beauty and the power and all of it, you know, not even the, don't, please don't be perfect. Not, no one's perfect. It's just us being us have this tremendous ripple effect outward. And I really, yeah, it's not always the big one. I always go for the big one because I have the big vision of I'm changing the world and, you know, I need millions. But it starts with one, two, three, five, and it ripples out. So just a smile can change the world. A hug has changed the world. So I remember when I, you asked for a story. I'm just thinking there's so many. I'm just reminded of one decades ago. I was a young counselor and there was a woman who was pretty hardcore, you know, in trouble with the law, carried weapon, you know, tattooed. And I was warned, stay away, you know, she's trouble. And I met her on the street one night and I just looked at her and I said, would you like a hug? And it was just what felt right in that moment. And I gave her a big hug and went on my way. And little did I know that was the first hug she's been given. And it ended up changing her world. And so you don't know, and we don't need to know. And I think that's sort of the ego, and I fall into that trap too. I want to know I've made a difference. I want to know I've contributed. And what if we just keep being the best we can be and who we be and trust that it's rippling out? And again, it shows up in so many ways. I feel like I go on and on because I love this topic. I'm going to pause again, Venus, if because you asked a number of questions. I'm not sure I answered them all yet.
Yeah, no, I think you did actually, except for maybe I just like, I'm wondering if the question, what else is possible, if you've seen, did it change the way that you saw the world?
Yes and no. So I think I've always been this, and so it was really easy for me because I've always been pretty big in the world, and I've always have this optimism and this sense of what's possible. I think I came in with that, to be again really just honest. You know, I'm not perfect. I'm not trying to say that. It's just I've come in with this energy of knowing what's possible, and it's easy for me to see the humanity in people, which makes it easier for me to work with people who've done all kinds of things, including working with gangs or in prisons or you know, people who've committed various crimes. I do a lot of peacemaking work and conflict resolution, and so I always see what's possible, and I think that's really why I'm here this time around on this planet, of contributing this energy of possibility around peace. That's my specialty, is peacemaking. And so this question resonated, and it definitely contributed without a doubt. It didn't change me in that sense. It just, and again, I think I would say this to a lot of our listeners, is it might always already resonate because it reflects and supports who you are. I don't know if that's true. I'm just sort of putting it out as a possibility. But for me, it was more as like, oh, yes, there is possibilities. And this is a tool that allows me to step further into, I knew there was something else that was possible. I knew that I'm different. I knew that I don't really fit in here all the time. And maybe some of you listening don't feel like you fit in totally, or you might not like what you see. And I think you said it earlier, Venus, is we tend to get stumped of what do we do about it. So what I like about the tool is, and again, there's others, is that it's a pragmatic tool you can pick up. So I think what we're in dire need of in the world is we know what's not working. We have a lot of protests and a lot of frustration and a lot of anger and a lot of reaction. And to me, we need to move beyond that and get really productive and constructive. So here we have the destruction. What's the construction? What's the creation? So what I love about this tool, it's pragmatic. It works. And I want to fill people's tool belt. And when I do trainings, that's what I'm doing. I'm just filling people's tool belts, because we're going to be able to pull out various tools for different situations. And we want to be equipped to be able to do what needs to be done moving forward from here. So we have the possibility of a phenomenal future. And like, obviously the planet is phenomenal. The Earth is going to continue. It's really what happens to the humans. And so, you know, we need to be equipped to not just react. And in fact, I want to get people out of reaction to response. And there's a difference there. So there's a consciousness, there's an awareness, there's a choice. And so we need tools to do that. And so if we pause to ask a question, what the question does is it gets us out of those conclusions. It gets us out of the judgment, because we're asking a question. So the very act of asking a question opens up again a space for us to say, huh, if I ask a question, that means I have a choice here. And what am I going to choose here? And so they're very powerful. And again, so maybe if you get frustrated or you're seeing something that's not working in your life or collectively, again, it's at every level, noticing I'm bouncing between the micro of, you know, I have to get dressed and get in my car or maybe go to school or go to work, to world peace. And it's the same tools we want to pull out at different levels and layers sometimes. And so, again, the potency of the simple tools, we don't want to forget how powerful that is at every level.
Mm-hmm. Great. Well, wow, that was beautifully said. And we are ready to take another break. So if any of you have questions, we would love for you to call in and talk to Dr. Evelyn Zeller at 202-570-7057. And we'll be back in a couple minutes.
The best of holistic, spiritual, and conscious world. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
Ascending Hearts is no ordinary dating site, but a spiritual dating site with a purpose, to link you with your soulmate. We engineer the serendipity so you can trust that you will attune with someone that has the same matching vibration as you. Ascending Hearts, the conscious dating site for the spiritually aware. Try Ascending Hearts for free, ascendinghearts.com.
I'm Kathy Williams, host of Sexy Mom Abundant Life radio show on Thursdays at 5 p.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. Pacific. On the show, we explore living abundantly in every area of your life. Ways to let go of limiting patterns and beliefs and to step into the flow of creativity and possibility, knowing you are supported by the universe.
Who said life had to be hard and disempower you? What if all of life really could come to you with ease and joy? What if everything you saw as a wrongness of you was actually one of your greatest strengths? What if you could wake up every morning with a newfound sense of empowerment? Join Venus Castleberg to discover a world of infinite possibilities. Every weekday morning at 8 a.m. Pacific, Morning Musings goes live on the Venus Castleberg CF Facebook page. What magic can we create every day?
Imagine being fired because of who you love. Imagine being denied medical treatment because of who you marry. Imagine being evicted because of who you are. Millions of Americans don't have to imagine this. They have to live it. Because in 31 states, it's legal to discriminate against LGBT people. Get the facts at beyondido.org. Brought to you by the Gill Foundation and the Ad Council.
More about the world. So, Hello, everyone. Welcome back. We are here with Dr. Evelyn Zeller talking about what else is possible. And right before the break, we were talking about kind of like choice and how we can choose things differently and make changes. They could be small changes, they could be big changes, but that every single one of you has the capacity to change the world just by being you. And it was funny because while Evelyn was talking, I remembered when I met her. I don't even know if she knows this, but I was not in a very good place in my life. And I was coming out of a really not nice scenario, let's just put it that way. And just the kindness and the presence that she was choosing to be was such a gift. And it changed so much. And so I wanted to acknowledge Evelyn in that she's a testament to how one person can change one person's life.
Thank you. I'm going to try not to cry on that one.
And I know.
It's beautiful. That means the world for me, really. It's huge, huge. Thank you so, so much for this acknowledgement. I have such a deep desire to really contribute. And I think what we're modeling here, I hope for everybody, is again, that simplicity of change from again, just showing up and the power of acknowledgement. You know, thank you so much, Venus. And I really encourage all of us to acknowledge ourselves and acknowledge each other. I don't think we do that enough in the world. And it relates to the questions you were asking earlier about how do we get people to recognize this all. And another contribution is that acknowledgement. And we often, you know, go through things and we think, oh, that really was lovely, or that was wonderful, or that made a difference. And then we don't tell the person. And what if we added to our practice what you just so beautifully gifted me, an acknowledgement, and say thank you. And I invite people to add to the end of their thank you, instead of just say thank you, add for, and then say what that is. And notice how much deeper that goes. And I do this as a practice myself. I don't ask anybody to do anything that I'm not doing. That's very important to me. So I notice when I'm writing an email, for example, I'll say thank you. And I really just want to say thank you and end it. But I pause and I go, thank you for. And then I pause and it invites me to get really clear. And also tap into, what am I thankful for? What is it that this person specifically did or said or be that really was a contribution? So then it deepens it for me, and then it also gets delivered to them if they choose to receive it. It really gifts them, and it opens up, again, the space of possibility of again, what else is possible. So I just wanted to name that because you so beautifully brought that forward. That was a massive gift for me, and now I hope a gift for others to practice that acknowledgement and that gratitude verbally, energetically, and physically with each other. And imagine if we all did that, millions of us around the world, acknowledging and being in gratitude, because gratitude is an energetic, and it also changes the vibration in and of itself. So just that act of gratitude and acknowledgement is a contribution to each other and also the earth. That's an energy that the earth loves and will help with the healing and the expansive of possibilities. So thank you, Venus.
Beautifully put in. And that actually even just, I mean, we were just asking, like, how can one person change the world? And one person can change the world just by simply the gratitude that we have, the acknowledgement that we have for others. And that can change so much. I mean, I love your story about how you gave that woman a hug and that was the first hug she'd ever received. I'm like, that's just... change, it's the ripple effects are so huge and the acts are so small. They don't have to be a earth changing, you know, things. Mm-hmm. So to change the world. They don't have to be this massive thing to change the world, is what I was trying to say. Yeah, so. And that was beautiful because I was actually going to ask you about acknowledgement. So you read my mind. You went right into it. So, great. So we also, with these tools, like I've also heard you say that we have the capacity to create what seems impossible. Could you say some more about that?
I sometimes wish we were, visual, because you could see this big grin on my face. It's, again, one of my favorite topics, and I love the name of your show, Venus. I just love that. Because I'm always questioning, what's impossible. Because, again, it's these conclusions and judgments. And, okay, maybe it is impossible, but what if we didn't start there? What if we asked and checked it out and played with it? And there's very little that's impossible, really. And again, there's so many examples that were given, and some of them are a bit cliche, go to the moon, that was impossible. The earth was flat. We can't go around it. That was impossible. We are, throughout history, pretty much every year, and now I'm thinking it's probably every week or even every day, I'm not sure, but we are breaking barriers left, right, and center. And human history is completely filled with examples of going beyond the impossible. And it was only impossible because we defined it as impossible. So again, the invitation is, what if we didn't come to conclusions, and what if we didn't label and judge things as impossible? And we create our world, as I said earlier, with our words and also with our definitions. And so that's simply a definition and a judgment. And as soon as we deem it such, it is. Until someone has the audacity, and that is a synonym for courage, to question it and run that race, make wings to fly, go to the moon, swim across the channel, go deep diving without any oxygen, free fall. I mean, it's just endless, and it's so much joy. So tap into the joy of that. Like, for me, my whole body just vibrates and I expand out and just go, oh my God, what do you want to do? Do you want to fly? Do you want to swim? Do you want to, we're not meant to do that, but we do all of it. So imagine what else is possible. To use this tool again, shamelessly, so then it's again tapping into, what would you like to create? So really the question for me is, okay, so what would you like to create? And so that's a deep question that I invite our listeners to sit with and play with. What would you like to create? And again, it's individually, but I'm really interested, and my work is at the group level. So yes, I do private sessions occasionally, but all my work, most of my work is with groups. And so I'm interested in, okay, so what do we want to create individually? What do we want to create as families? What do we want to create in our organization, in our workplace? What do we want to create in our communities, in our province or state, in our countries, and for me, the world? And so that's where it gets super exciting for me. It's like, okay, who wants to come play? So for me, I don't fight. I've done my protests in my 20s, and I appreciate it. It serves a purpose. But for me, I'm not fighting, I'm creating. So I'm super interested in, okay, who wants to play? Come, let's play. Because together we are unstoppable. Together we can create. Oh my gosh, we haven't even begun to tap into what's possible. And so it's connecting at the group level, and the sense of, when we come together, we've got everything we need. And so then we can have these conversations, and we can release the limitations, and we can facilitate each other. And we can then say, what's required to create what we would like? So for me, it's peace on earth. That sounds cliche, and I've been told, okay, that's impossible, and I've been told all kinds of things. And I keep looking at it, and there's a temptation, I admit. It's like, okay, maybe I am, am I crazy? This isn't possible. Look at humanity, and there's so much evidence against it. And then I go, you know what? this is worth my life. This is worth living. So the other thing I would say in response to your earlier questions is, what is worth living? And what is worth your precious time? Because we don't know how much time we have individually or collectively. But let's say we're going to live 100, 150 years individually. I don't know, maybe 50, 30. I don't know what we've got. We don't know. But what are you going to do with it? And what is worth that living? That is a gift. That is a tremendous gift, my friends. And so many don't have that gift for long. So please don't squander it. Please take it as a gift that it is. Speaking of acknowledgement, oh my God, we're alive. We wake up and we get to breathe. That is such a gift. And what are you going to do with your gift? The gift of you. And so for me, it's not worth living a life of despair and victim and no choice and judgment and destruction and separation. Nah, I am not at all interested in that. I am so interested in change and creating. And so my target, peace on earth, let's go. Who wants to play? I know it's possible. It's not about no conflict, because conflict is normal. It's natural. It's not about liking everybody. We don't have to like everybody. It's not about being the same. Good God, let's not be the same. Please, let us celebrate the... Oh, please, like, don't be anybody else, because they're taken. Be you, and in your wild rainbow of wonderful, weird, crazy, diverse. So the diversity is the gift. And when we get the diversity and the... oh my God, I get so excited about all this. And if we can get that we are related, and my First Nations, Indigenous spirit family, you know, one of the phrases we use in ceremony in North America, also referred to as Turtle Island, is all my relations. And that's literal. We are related. And we're not only related to each other, we're related to the ocean that I'm looking at right now, the mountains I'm looking at, the trees, the animals. And when we get that, it's very hard to then pull out the guns and the bombs and build the walls. You know, we don't need that anymore. We've played that game for a long time, you know, and we know the results. We've had lots of wars, world wars. We've had World War I, World War II. We've done that experiment a lot. I'm kind of tired of it, and those that are tired of it and want something different, let's get together and let's create. That's where I'm at, and that's exciting, and that's worth living. That's an experiment that's worth seeing what we create from.
Beautifully put. This was such a wonderful conversation, and I would like to just touch on one more topic, because you have said throughout today's call about, you know, mentioning being you, and yet the conversation has really been about the kingdom of we. And I know that some people out there think that, well, if I'm being me, then that, you know, I don't have room for there becomes this like either I can be me or I can be for everybody else, but they can't coexist. Could you speak to that?
I love it. Yeah. And I would love to carry on this conversation, because I'm steeped in that conversation. I've been thinking a lot about it. And interestingly, we've been talking about the individual a lot. And I typically talk about we a lot, because my work, as I said, is typically not exclusively. I do some coaching and private sessions, but almost all my work is in that group level. So it's the we. So, and as I was just saying a moment, that the teachings of all my relations and Ubuntu and many other teachings, Namaste, you know, that is the kingdom of we. That's the recognition of we. But that doesn't mean sameness, and that doesn't mean that I get lost as an individual. And so for me, any either or polarity doesn't stand up to scrutiny. And so for me, it's been a fun game for many, many years. It's just been a game I play. Every time I hear a polarity or someone imposes a polarity, I get to play with it, and it disintegrates. And so this is yet another example of there is no either or. That's part of this reality's imposition of an either or, right or wrong type of paradigm. And the other paradigm, which I'm interested in, to use an academic term, a paradigm shift in the world. So that is beyond polarity, beyond either or. So you can be you and be the kingdom of we simultaneously. In fact, they complement and contribute to each other simultaneously, and I'm getting it can't be anything but. So the more that we engage in the we, the more we can show up in totality as me, and me contributes to we contributes to me, and it's this gorgeous, you know, chaotic, creative cacophony of symphony. And I'm thinking of jazz, actually, just sprang to mind. It's like the jazz, you know, what a phenomenal, you have the sax player who can only be him, but without the other instruments, you don't have jazz. You don't have the symphony without the orchestra, and they're all unique. So one of the things I love about my work, I do peace circles work. And so in the peace circle, it's a methodology that is brilliant at the simultaneity of the individual and the collective. So we're each an individual circle within the broader circle. And so it's meeting the needs of both at the same time. So it's not the expense of, it's the addition to. So it's not an or, it's an and.
I love it. That is a great place to finish our conversation. I have been such a pleasure having you. Evelyn, how can people find you?
Best through the website, peaceofthecircle.com, as in peace on earth. And there's a contact page, and feel free to email info@peaceofthecircle.com. And I would love to hear from you. I would love to connect with you. I'd love to play with you. I love colleagues, and I'm hosted around the world. So I look forward to meeting you in person someday, everyone.
Wonderful. Thank you, my dear, for such a wonderful show.
Thank you, Venus. Thank you for opening up this possibility for all of us. And thank you for you. You're so-